Well, I want to talk about this phrase we've read in our chapter from Dan to Beersheba. God, first of all, promised Abraham the eternal inheritance of a territory from the river of Egypt, which would have been probably not the Nile, but a little smaller river, a little bit to the north of there, but anyway, down south, to the Euphrates. And that was a pretty big area. And yet, when it comes to Israel coming in to begin inheriting the land, of course, the spies come back and say, we can't do it, so they go wander for 40 years. And then God gives them the territory that they're to inherit. And he seems to move the border from the Euphrates to the Jordan, which is a fraction of the territory that he promised them. And that's why when the 2.5 tribes want to settle east of Jordan, God sort of says, well, you know, yes, you can if that's what you want, but this was not his ideal intention. And so they enter the land, and they're given their tribal areas, and I would say, although it's not actually recorded, but I would say that the implication of the law of Moses is that every family was given a specific piece of land within the tribal territories that are defined for us. Now, they did not drive out all the tribes. They were just happy with their bit of farmland that they got, and that was it. They were not really interested in inheriting the kingdom prepared for them from the beginning. And so, when you come then to the layout of the land at the time of Joshua, and again the boundaries are defined, they are somewhat smaller than what were initially envisaged. And then effectively, the land was reduced from Dan to Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is south of Jerusalem, but it is nowhere near the original intended southern border, which was the river of Egypt. And likewise, Dan. Well, if the area was to be originally defined by the Euphrates, that was far to the north of Dan in what is now southern Turkey. And yet, again, they did not show the desire to inherit it. And so, God effectively redefined the kingdom for them, from Dan to Beersheba, and even then they didn't really want to be part of his kingdom. And you see then how thirsty God is for relationship with people. He really wants to force through his program, his intention of giving his people the kingdom, even almost if they don't want it. I say almost because if somebody really and truly does not want to be in God's kingdom, then I guess it would be pretty awful for them to be there, have to, you know, like be good all the time sort of thing. So they won't get it because they didn't want it. But I think what you see from that then is that God wants to give us the kingdom. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He wants us to inherit the kingdom. And so don't think that God is sort of indifferent, that he's given us a load of conditions, and if we meet them, well, he'll have a look at that at Judgment Day and see if we made it or not. He's far more proactive than that. His grace is seeking out people. He is taking the initiative all the way through. And in our own lives, there were potentials set up for us, which I'm afraid we did not reach up to. And that does not mean that God was through with us. But God often redefines his hopes for us and his intentions for us. You need to keep praying to God to show you what are his intentions for you. There were good works, we read in the New Testament, that were intended for us from the foundation of the world, and we're intended to go do them. And in our faithlessness, we think about, oh, resources. I don't have the resources. Well, don't worry about the resources. God will provide in his own way. And those intentions for you may not need any resources. And so God wants us in relationship with him. And when we fail to fully respond, and I really think this applies to us all, then it is reduced what he seeks for us. As I say, from that huge area, from Egypt to the Euphrates gets whittled down bit by bit down to Dan to Beersheba, which is a fraction of that area. And so God is prepared, as I say, to reduce his expectations of us. Now, I'm not saying that therefore and thereby we are free to do what we want and don't worry about it, God will accept whatever you dish up to him. That is not at all what I'm saying. Rather, I'm taking the line that do not be discouraged when you look back at all the wasted opportunities in your life. When you look back at all that should have been and could have been, but wasn't. Because God wants you. And he wants to give us something to do for him to his glory. And man is never better, I think, than when he's actually doing what God intends him to do. You know, to have a little project where you are, for example, ministering to a certain family, to a certain group of people, where you are making a radical difference in other people's lives and leading them to the kingdom. I'll tell you, that's worth more than any great career, wealth, prestige in this world. Absolutely nothing compared to you doing God's work as he intends. That is the joy. That is the confidence then that you have that somehow everything works out in life. Because you're going his way as far as you can.